Solomon. I expected to hear a big old gasp whenever I said that. Can he preach there? Yes, I can. Because pastor's gone. I can do whatever I want. Is that good? Are we good? Okay. We're good. I always mess this thing up. But okay, we're going to be in the Song of Solomon. Now, I don't know about you, but reading the Song of Solomon is a little interesting. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But as I was thinking on what I should preach on, I was like, there's something in the Song of Solomon that really stuck out to me, and I want to preach on it. So I decided that's what we're doing. And I don't really have that many jokes tonight. This thing? Nope. I know. That's the only reason anybody comes. But what did I do with my phone? I put it in here. Did I? What did I just do with it? It's gone. There it is. All right. So the first one is, and they're not even funny. I've been searching for like a week now because I know I'm going to be preaching. I couldn't find anything. If you're cleaning a vacuum cleaner, you become a vacuum cleaner. This is, the whole thing is going to be like this, okay? Who put the alphabet in alphabetical order? There's no, that's just a question. Do you think the ocean's only salty because the land never waves back? These are the jokes, kid. All right, so we're going to be in Song of Solomon. Now, before we start, I want to point out that in chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says that it is the Song of Songs. Okay, it's the Song of Songs. Now, whenever God says that something is, you know, whenever you think of that, you think of who? Jesus, right? Jesus is what? The King of Kings, right? There you go. Got to have you guys help me out here. Okay, but this is the Song of Songs. Now, reading it, you're like, whenever I read it, I skim through it. And through Song of Solomon's, we're through with it, okay? But obviously, God thinks that it matters because he calls it the Song of Songs. So that means that it's pretty important. God loves it. You know, we all have our favorite song. This is God's favorite song because it is the Song of Songs. But we're going to start in chapter number 4. We're going to start in verse number 16. And we're going to read into verse number... I'm just going to read into chapter 5. I don't know where I want to stop yet. So verse number 16, chapter 4, it says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spice thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Now chapter 5, it says, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels removed for him. I rose up to open my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with the sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." Okay, now something I want to point out in this book of Song of Solomon is you hear these characters, you hear the beloved, okay, then you hear the bride, then you hear the daughters of Jerusalem, which I haven't got to yet, then you hear the king. Now, I'm not going to talk about the king, okay, tonight, but the beloved is referring to God. Okay, so God is the beloved. Then the bride would be, okay, who's the bride going to be? Us, saved believers, right? The daughters of Jerusalem, okay, what I got is that depicts the world. So the daughters of Jerusalem depicts the world, and then the king is the devil. Now, in the first part of Song of Solomon, you think the king is like God because he's talking all nice and sweet. And then towards the end, he starts talking kind of vulgar and kind of really, you're like, God wouldn't talk like that. So obviously that's not God. Okay, but whenever I first read this chapter, my mind went right away to the rapture. I thought this was talking about the rapture because, you know, the beloved, God comes, he knocks at the door, okay, and this person missed it. But we see in chapter number 8, in verse number 5, you guys don't have to turn there, it says, who is that where I want? Chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that cometh upon up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? So if you read, she's talking to the daughter of Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden she's with her beloved. Okay, that's the rapture. Okay, so this is the picture of the rapture right here. But this, in chapter number 5, that's not talking about the rapture. Well, then I thought, well, it's not about the rapture, it's about salvation. Okay, so the beloved, you know, God stand at the knock. Okay, that verse, I thought, okay, well, it's a picture of salvation. There it is. I can preach off of that. But then, no, I don't think that's it either. What I think these verses are talking about is God fellowshipping, okay, with his people. Fellowshipping with his, because the beloved was coming to fellowship to spend time with his bride. And I was like, I think that's it. I think that's what these verses are talking about. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight is the fellowship that we have with God. Okay, and in verse number six, it says, my soul failed when he spake. Okay, my soul failed when he spake. Now in verse number 16 of chapter 4, she was talking and she wanted the beloved to come. Then in verse number 1 of chapter 5, the beloved is like, okay, I'm coming. Okay, it says, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my house. Okay, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I'm coming, okay? So why did she miss the beloved? Okay, that's, I was like, kind of interesting here. Why did she want to spend time with him? Then he came, and then all of a sudden he missed her. How? You know, why would you do that? And also, I love the nickname, not nicknames here, but the pet names. Goes, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. So from here on out, Joel is now my dove. My beautiful flying dove. Anyways. Okay. So I kind of wanted to talk about how or why the reasons that she missed her beloved. Bless you. In verse number 2, we see that it says, I slept, but my heart waketh. Okay, so obviously she was half awake. Okay, she was in that zone of, I'm conscious, but I'm not conscious. Bless you. Okay, now, I do this a lot whenever I'm going to bed with my wife laying right next to me. She'll be talking and I'll be listening for about 5 minutes. I'm listening. I know exactly what she's talking about. Okay, then it feels like 2 seconds have passed. And she's asking me a question. I'm going, what is happening right now? Okay, and she's like, did you hear anything that I just said for the past, like, 20 minutes? I was like, it hasn't been that long. And she'll repeat everything, and I was like, I had no clue that you said any of that. Okay, I don't know if I'm the only one that does that, but once my head hits the pillow, you got about 40 seconds till I'm out. Then don't even say anything to me. I'm by the honestly, I guess. But, so, she was expecting her beloved to come, but yet, she lied down and was half asleep. Okay? She knew her beloved was coming, and yet she was still sleeping. She didn't want to wait up for him. Okay? She was not alert when he was coming. If she had been, I'm pretty sure she would answer the door right away. Okay, once you're excited, okay, once you are like pumped for something to happen, is it easy to sleep? Whenever I go on vacation, okay, the leading up to the vacation is more fun, I think, than the actual vacation part. I don't know why. It's the anticipation. Okay, vacation's coming. You're like, oh, yeah, it's coming. It's 2 weeks away. It's a week away. And then for about 2 nights away, you're like, I'm going to be in Alabama here shortly. You're just like, I can't wait. I'm going to be on the beaches here, you know, have my farmer tan. It's going to look so good. Okay, then the night before, you might as well just, you know, I have to drive 18 hours to Alabama. I have to sleep. And your mind just will not let you sleep. Okay, so whenever you're excited about something, it's really hard to fall asleep. But this lady was not. Okay, she was groggy and half asleep. Okay, but then it says, she knew, where am I here? It is the voice of my beloved. So she knew it was her beloved. Okay, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. I'm going to say that as many times as I can tonight. Because it just rolls off the tongue. She knew it was her beloved. But yet she still didn't move when she heard him. if we're not alert when the Lord calls on us, if we're not excited to hear from the Lord, do you think we're going to answer the Lord right away? No, I don't think we are. Because we're not, like I said, excited. We're not alert to hear from the Lord. We're not going to respond to His calling. We're called to be vigilant. We're called to be vigilant and to be watching for our Lord. Okay, but a lot of times we become comfortable, right? We become so comfortable we accidentally fall asleep. Whenever my wife talks to me, I don't want to fall asleep. I'm involved in what she's saying, but a lot of times I just get too comfortable. The bed's too warm. I just fall asleep. Okay, so we become too comfortable as Christians. And we remain ignorant of the Lord's voice. We are accountable to God to be ready and willing to answer His call. All right, then in verse number 3, it says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? So first, she was half awake. And then second, she put off her coat. Why would you wear a coat going to bed? I don't know. Expecting rain that night. Okay? But she was done for the day. She was tired. Like I said, she was already half asleep. And she didn't want to get up and get dressed. Okay, that's the worst part. Getting up out of bed. Okay, I'm not a morning person, I guess, but getting up for work is the worst part of my day. Okay, whenever you all had a really good dream and your alarm goes off, it just makes you so upset. Okay? But she didn't, she was all settled in, she was half asleep, okay, but she didn't want to make an effort to get up. Okay, even though she claimed she loved her beloved, okay, she still didn't want to get up for him. She didn't think it was worth getting ready for. Okay, it was too late at night. Okay, she was just comfortable. She didn't want to get up. Now, I'm going to lose my spot here if I don't. I worded this really weird. Ah, that's what I'm getting at. Okay, so nobody else was there. Okay, it was him and her. Okay, nobody else was there. Now, you act a little differently around your spouse whenever you're just by yourself, don't you? Okay, whenever you're out in public, you put on this big facade. Is facade a word? Jeff's impressed. I impressed Jeff, so I'm going to roll with it. Okay, you put on a facade. Okay, we're like, oh my goodness, I love my husband. And you live a perfect life, and you know, everything's awesome. Perfect husband. Okay? But then you get home and you're like, why did you do that? You're like, what? Why did you say that thing? Okay? If you act a little differently whenever you're by yourself. Okay, same thing. Whenever you're out in public in church, okay, and you act all spiritual, you know, you're like, oh, God's touching me so much. I'm getting so much from my Bible reading. But then whenever you're by yourself, okay, it's just a facade. You're just putting on a facade to impress other people, right? But what really matters is whenever you're alone, okay, with God, and you have a personal walk with God, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, okay, you're doing all this stuff, that's what matters to God. Not what you do in front of everybody. You are, well, how does that saying go? You are, yeah, there you go. You are what you are in, what Garrett said. There you go. Okay. Christians don't think it is worth to answer God's call. We may have to give up some of our things that we don't want to do or that we don't want to give up. We may have to make a sacrifice to do what our Lord wants us to do. That's a big one for me. Okay, I like my family time. And my family time is super important to me. Okay, but whenever God calls, a lot of times He wants us to spend time with Him or spend time with our family, but He also wants us to take time apart from our family and to spend time with Him, with God. Okay, or, I don't know, like soul winning. Okay, that takes up a lot of time on Saturday. Okay, and you're like, man, I have a lot of things to do. I have to, you know, do some project on Saturday. I just can't do it. How do you think that makes God feel? You know, you're more willing to go golfing. I'm getting into golfing now. I'm not good at it, but I'm getting into it. You're more willing to go golfing than to actually go out and do what I told you to do. Okay, we're going to have to sacrifice some of our things some of the things we enjoy doing, okay, to please God. And she wasn't willing, okay, sleep. I guess sleep is a good example. I like sleep, too. Sleep is like a really good thing for me. Beauty sleep. I need a lot of it. But she wasn't willing to give up her beauty sleep to answer the call. And she's like, I'm just done. I don't want to answer this door right now. Leave. And I think that's how a lot of Christians are. They just don't want to answer the door because they don't want to give up what they love most. Then thirdly, and again in verse number 3, it says, I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? So I guess they washed their feet before bed, which I don't do. I'm going to start now, obviously. Okay. But she said, I washed my feet, and getting up out of the bed is going to defile my feet. Now I was thinking, I was like, maybe she had a dirt floor. Maybe. I don't know, so I can't really say for sure. But I'm guessing she probably didn't have a dirt floor. So how, if you could see the door, mind you, okay, how could getting up out of bed, walking, let's say, 10 feet, okay, and back, how is that going to defile your feet? Was her floor really that dirty? I mean, think about it for a second. Her beloved is right on the other side of that door, and she's not willing to get up and walk on her dirty floor. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't it? It's like a teenage boy living with her or something. Or Jacob living with her, I guess. But but that tells me that she has some things she needed to clean up. Okay, if she wasn't willing to step out because her floor was so dirty, okay, I think she needed to do some cleaning. Some mopping, maybe. Okay, something. She kind of... Maybe sounds a little lazy to me. Okay, now again, I don't know. She used her dirty floor as an excuse to not answer the door. Oftentimes, we use that excuse, don't we? We'd rather live in our sin than to listen to God. When she considered the cause answering the door, which was dirty in her feet, okay, she was too lazy to get up and to clean her floors. If the floors would have been cleaned, she couldn't have used that excuse, right? We are more likely to listen to God if we clean up our life. Kind of like the last point, okay, we are often too lazy to put the necessary work in to answering God. Now, I was thinking about this point, and I was like, if we're living for God, if we're doing what he tells us to, if we're reading our Bible, and he comes and knocks on our door, we're going to answer it, right? Okay, but if he comes to us and we got all this stuff wrong, now again, nobody's perfect. Okay, I'll be the first one to say, no, I'm not perfect at all. Okay, but if God comes to me and I'm living right, I want to open that door. Okay, I'll go, oh yeah, I can get out of bed for you, God. I can go open that door right away. You know, I'm excited. But if I have stuff on the floor that I don't want God to see, if I have my dirty laundry out, don't say anything. Okay, if I have socks over there and my shirt over there and I just flung a shoe over there and you know, all this other stuff. Do I want to let God into that room? No, I don't want God to see that. Just like I wouldn't want a visitor to come into my house and see all of my laundry, all of my shoes and all this stuff just cluttered. Okay, she didn't want him to come in because her feet were dirty, or her floors were dirty. And I feel like that's how a lot of us are living. We're living dirty. But then, in verse number four, she has a change of heart. Okay, it says, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. So she was able to see his beloved's hand. And it says, and my bowels were moved for him. So once she saw his hand, she wanted him. Now what I can say for this is, if we actually see God for what he is, if we see all that he's done for us, if we see all that he's given us, just him dying on the cross alone, that should make us want him. But once we see that, then we want to live for him, don't we? Or we should. I should say we should want to live for him. A lot of us still don't. But once she saw that hand, she's like, that's my beloved. I want him. And once we see our God, that should make us want our God. It'll move us once we see our God and all that he's done for us. Let me just flip my paper over here real quick. Once we see our God, we're not going to have a problem cleaning up our life, are we? Once we see all he's done for us, we're going to be like, you know what? I can sacrifice a little bit. I can sacrifice that golf game that I had planned on Saturday. Okay? I can sacrifice a little bit of my family time to spend time with God. Right? We should anyway. Like I said, this is all we should. A lot of us see that, but then do we do anything about it? No, we don't do anything about it. We just leave it the way it is and let God do all the work. We don't answer the door. Okay, but she had a change of heart, nonetheless. She saw his hand and was like, that is the one I want to spend time with. So she got up, but somewhere in between her bed and the door, something happened there. And I read the verse and I was super confused. Let me read the verse. It says, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. I was like, what is she doing here? Why are her hands dropped with myrrh? You know, just like myrrh just flinging off of her fingers. And I was like, oh, she was trying to look presentable. You know, she was, or I guess the girls do the, and then walk through it. You know. Okay, but somewhere between the bed and the door, she went and washed herself up, probably did the little hair thing, you know, and then she's like, all right, I'm going to go answer the door. Okay? Now, I was thinking, I was like, we do that quite a bit, don't we? I was like, we want to make ourselves look good for God. And all I say is, does God care about anything that we do? No, God doesn't care if we have money, we have cool cars, which I don't. I have a cool Toyota 2008, the only one that I haven't crashed yet. Okay, God doesn't care about our perfumes that we put on. Okay, she was trying to impress her beloved, okay, by putting on, it doesn't say she put on jewelry. But girls are obsessed with jewelry, okay? Earrings, a necklace, perfume, did her hair, all this stuff, okay? Just to impress the one that she loved. But then it says, by the time that she got there to the door, her beloved had withdrawn himself. So by the time we get done fancying ourselves up, okay? How am I going to explain this? I'll serve God if I have enough money. Who's heard that one? I'll serve God once I have something. Yeah, there you go. Once I have my life in order, then I'll serve God. Okay? Who's heard that? Okay? I'll serve God once I have everything under control. Is that what God wants? No. God just wants you to do what he says. And right now, it's listening to his call. Okay, but she's like, no, no, no. First, I got to look good. I got to look good for my man. And that's what Christians do. We try to look good for God, but God could care less about our perfumes. People who do that oftentimes, halfway through them saving up money, halfway through them fixing their lives, just lose their vision completely, and they don't ever come back to God at all. Okay? They either get a really good job, and they're like, well, I'm making really good money here. And if I give up this job to go serve the Lord, I'm throwing away all this extra money. I'm throwing away everything that I built up these past 10 years. And then God's like, do what I say. You know, but people aren't willing to give up all that they've built up. So like I said, then after she was done getting herself all pretty, then her beloved was gone. Verse number 6 again. Now, if I don't spend time with God, if I don't listen to his voice, if I don't answer when he calls, I'm not willing to sacrifice and sleep or work or anything like that, then I'm going to fail as a Christian. And God won't respect that. God isn't going to answer our prayers or pour out blessings upon us if we're not listening to him, if we're not answering him. If we're not willing to put in time to fellowship with him personally, God's not going to listen. God's not going to answer us. Now, she was seeking him, but it was in her own power rather than in submission to her beloved. Let's read the last part of verse number six. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. That was in her own power. Okay, just a couple verses before, God was right there. Then he left, and she was trying to find him in her own power. Once she couldn't find her beloved, she went looking. Okay, now I didn't read this far. Let's read verse number seven. It says, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. So because she couldn't find her beloved, she went out looking. Okay. Now, since she didn't have her beloved there, which was her protector, which is somebody who was supposed to protect her anyways, what happened? She got beat up. Okay. She got smote, it says, and they ripped her veil from her. So once we're away from God, okay, looking for God in our own power, bad things are going to happen. If we're trying to find God in our own power, we're going to get beat up, you know, per se. And then it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Now, what did I say earlier about the daughters of Jerusalem? Who are they a picture of? The world, okay? So she couldn't find her beloved, so where did she go? To the world. Whenever people can't find God, they turn to the world. Okay? I think that's where a lot of the new churches are at today. This is the situation that they find themselves in. All right? They're trying to find God in their own power, and in doing that, they bring in the world. Okay, that's why you got drums and guitars and guys wearing super tight pants. Okay, I don't know how they even pour themselves into those things in the morning. Okay, but they adapt things from the world. That's what happens when we try to find God in our own power. She turned to the daughters of Jerusalem, verse number 8. I think I read that one. When we aren't willing to follow God's way, we often turn to the world for help in our troubles and counsels and counsel. I'm kind of already done, but I just didn't. The pastor said Wednesday nights are for teaching, and every time I preach on Wednesday night, I never teach, I always preach. So I apologize for that. But I just don't want this to happen to anybody, because I think it happens way more than what we like to admit it. Is that God's there, he's willing to spend time with us. All we have to do is open the door, and yet we fail so many times. Our soul failed. Okay, that means she wasn't able or she failed to respond. So I just am telling you now, don't fail to respond to God's calling. If we do, she regretted that decision, I bet, didn't she? Whenever those guys were beating her up, I bet you she was like, man, I really wish I just would have jumped out of bed and opened up that door right whenever I heard the first knock. Okay, she regretted that. And what I don't want is for somebody here who knows they're being called by God, who knows that it's God on the other side of that door, and yet they're comfortable sleeping. They don't want God to see all their mess. They don't want to give up their beauty sleep. I don't want that to happen here. I don't know, maybe, but if God's calling somebody in here to preach, okay, and you don't answer that, that's going to be the biggest mistake of your life. But, all right, well, that's all I have for you tonight.